Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello and welcome. My name is David Feingold, and I'll be your host for this new podcast, The Future of Higher Education. For the last 35 years, I've had the great pleasure to study and work with leaders in higher education and all parts of education and training systems around the world. This has given me the chance to visit over 50 different countries, including over 50 cities in China, and most of the large cities in India. I've had a chance to work on different aspects of skill development systems, from apprenticeship systems to K through 12 systems, to looking at and working with leaders of colleges and universities around the world. And I can say that in that more than three decades of work, I've never witnessed or experienced a time like we're living through today, given the extent of the disruption in the higher ed sector. I experienced this firsthand with our leadership team at Chatham University, where I'm based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, an institution that has prided itself on innovation and being able to do more with less, and coming up with new ways to keep the institution thriving in a really difficult competitive environment. But the challenges that we and other higher ed leaders are facing today are truly gargantuan. So we have, of course, the pandemic, which is still playing out in the U.S. and around the world, which has made for a very difficult year. But that comes on top of a set of longer-term destabilizing trends that are really calling into question many of the business models in higher ed. There are the demographic trends, the falling number of high school graduates, which are only going to intensify in the latter part of the 2020s. There's the rise in discount rates and competition on price that we're seeing, particularly among less selective institutions. There's been the long-term decline in public funding of higher education, which we've seen over the last several decades that has put greater strain on the budgets of colleges and universities across the U.S. And then there's been the growth of mega universities and online education, whether free offerings like MOOCs or the entrance of new competitors, major global corporations like Google entering higher ed, all of these forces coming together to create a really intensified competitive environment and creating new challenges for institutions. Part of what we're seeing is a growth in the number of institutions who are failing and more mergers and acquisitions and strategic partnerships among institutions as they look for new ways to both save costs and enhance the offerings for their students. So with all of that disruption in place, it obviously is creating great challenges, but in any time of great disruption, there are also huge opportunities for innovative leaders and institutions to not just continue to survive, but actually to thrive and pioneer new approaches that take advantage of these changes in trends and enable their institutions to move to greater heights. So what we're going to be doing over the coming months is having a chance to talk to the leaders of institutions that have been successful in these difficult times. And those are going to take several different varieties. So the first will be focusing on leaders who have been able to bring about major transformations in the fortunes of their institutions, taking them to whole new levels of success. We'll look at and have a chance to learn from some of the leaders of some of the largest institutions in the country. People like John Sexton, who pioneered the world's first global network university in his tenure at New York University. We'll talk with Michael Crow, the pioneering leader of Arizona State University, who over the last two decades has taken that from a former teacher's college and regional university to one of the world's most successful major research universities in what he calls the New American University, an institution that defines itself not by how selective it is and how many it rejects, but rather by how many students it can serve and its overall impact on the state and the country in which it's located. We'll also talk with leaders who've brought about similar transformations in much smaller institutions. We'll talk with Esther Barazzoni, my predecessor at Chatham, who arrived in the early 1990s when the institution was failing, selling off properties each year just to pay the bills, and managed to transform it from a small women's-only undergraduate college of fewer than 600 students to where it stands today as a national university with 2,400 students in an equal mix of graduate and undergraduate programs, as well as fully online degrees, and has gone from one to three campuses. And we'll talk about that transformational journey. We'll speak with Jeff Docking, who is the president at Adrian College in Michigan. Jeff has had an amazing tenure there, and we'll talk to him about not one but two transformations. First, the huge growth and success he's brought about for Adrian through the admissions growth model, particularly through the use of Division III athletics to attract students to Adrian, and the growth and increase in quality at the institution that's propelled. And then we'll talk to him about the second wave of innovation, the Low-Cost Models Consortium, which he launched, which is not just helping Adrian, but other small private colleges and universities to share resources and innovate and connect with some of the world's leading employers. And we'll also have a chance to talk with people like Paul LeBlanc at Southern New Hampshire University, who took over one of those smaller institutions like Adrian and Chatham and managed to transform Southern New Hampshire University into one of the largest universities in the U.S., offering fully online and competency-based degrees, as well as its traditional on-campus programs in New Hampshire. So a great chance to learn from transformational leaders and what they have done to dramatically improve the fate of their institutions. We'll also have a chance to talk with pioneers who've come up with new models of higher ed education and pioneered those new institutions. People like Rick Miller, the founding president of Olin College of Engineering, which set out to create a new model of undergraduate engineering education in the U.S., a model that has been so successful that more than 800 colleges and universities from across the U.S. and around the world have come to study it, and one that has gone from a startup in 2002 to now one of the top-ranked undergraduate engineering programs in the U.S. We'll also have a chance to talk with Shira Sheff, who created the University of the People, an extremely innovative model that uses a volunteer workforce to provide online degrees for many of the world's most talented but most deprived populations, those who otherwise would not have access to any form of higher education, including refugees around the world and some of the poorest students in the world in Africa and other countries, who are using the University of the People as a way to gain access to higher ed and transform not just their lives, but the lives of their families. We'll have a chance to talk with Ben Nelson, who has set up Minerva with an idea of creating a college that can match the quality and learning impacts of the Ivy League, but one which has no true campus, but rather has their students studying around the world and getting the benefits of that as part of a truly new model of delivering a college degree. We'll also have a chance to talk with folks who have gone through often difficult, but in many cases very successful processes of looking at strategic alliances, mergers, and other forms of institutional cooperation that enable their institutions to continue their mission, and in some cases to enhance that mission while integrating the institution into others. So we'll talk with David Chard of Wheelock College and understand and learn the lessons from his new book describing their integration with Boston University. We'll have a chance to talk with Tom O'Reilly from Pine Manor College, who led his institution's integration into Boston College. I think this is going to be a growing trend in higher ed over the coming years. And so as we see that, we'll have a chance to talk with others who have gone through this trend and learn the lessons from what I think will be a rapidly growing trend as a way for institutions to save money, offer more to students, and continue their historic missions. Finally, we'll have a chance to learn from some national experts in higher education who have published new books that share some of their wisdom. People like Nathan Graw, whose first book documenting the demographic decline in high school graduates across the U.S. and then breaking that down by region and type of institution has had a huge impact in folks' strategies over the last few years. We'll talk to him about his new book, The Agile College, and the strategies that it lays out to help institutions adapt to the trends that he documents. We'll also have a chance to talk with Mary Marcy about her book, The Small College Imperative, that lays out the range of strategies that smaller institutions have been using to come up with a distinctive value proposition for students that is enabling them to succeed in this challenging environment. And there'll, as you'll see, be some overlap among these different types of experts we're talking to, because many of the college president and university presidents have also written books sharing their wisdom. So we'll have a chance to ask them about that too. Now, I warn you in advance that some of these podcasts are going to be fairly long form, more than you might used to be having in interviews, because I found that one of the characteristics of successful leaders in higher ed is they tend to be great storytellers. And so I hope that you, like I have found, will find their life stories and the journeys that they had in leading their institutions both informative and entertaining. But if you want it in a shorter form, I will be synthesizing the results of these interviews into a book on transformational leaders in higher ed that I hope will come out after the first release of the interviews from the podcast. Well, thank you very much for joining me and for listening, and I look forward to the discussions and being able to share this with you, and encourage all of you who are listening to please give me feedback so I can continue to improve this. And if you have other leaders to suggest that I should interview and include in the podcast, please to send those along to me. Thanks for listening.